All right, I've been instructed for us to go ahead and get started. We do have a quorum of the Board of Selectmen here. So we are called to order, and we will start with the presentation by the Tax Department. Lori is here with me, and I will turn the floor over to her.
Good evening, everybody.
You want to look this way if you can?
Huh?
If you look toward the owl, it's better.
I'm trying to do both because I like to see what I'm talking about. So you have my budget sheet in front of you. I'll go through starting with other payroll. I did decrease that a little just because I feel I still need somebody or like somebody in July, but not necessarily needed in January for the supplemental bills. So I decreased that. Under professional education training, that was increased to include increased costs of our seminar classes. Ashley, and that's pretty much it there. Advertising and printing and binding, both of those were increased to include the potential of having another additional billing, hopefully not, but it'd be better to budget for that for this year instead of trying to find the money somewhere else. And then office operating is the same, and dues and fees went up because I am including, I'd like to include Ashley into a couple memberships, one with the state and one with our county. So, does anybody have any questions?
I have one, Lori. With the the increased cost for Ashley with the professional education and training and memberships, those are specific to tax collection and not for assessment.
Correct.
Okay. So she may also appear in that budget for a couple of things because she functions as the clerk for both departments. Correct. Thank you.
And she wants to learn as much as she can and join and be, you know, as active as possible in both organizations.
Anybody else have questions for Lori?
Jim, I would like to bring up the appointment I brought last month. Instead of naming a particular person, it's better if we say tax assistant, temporary, or whatever, however you want to read.
Understood.
For the person. But if Ashley leaves tomorrow for a better job in Florida or Hawaii, we should be able to still hold the money for her, or for that. Yep.
It's for the position, not necessarily for the person.
Right.
So we would ask that Lori make that change to the budget. Did you understand that?
Yeah. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Excellent point, Bob. Thank you.
Can I assume that the increased cost for regular payroll is all contractually obligated?
So I suspect that that's an assumption based on what the supervisor's contract is for next year. Lori belongs to the tax collector, belongs to a classification employee that is non-union and is a supervisory position. And normally what we do is we recommend to the Board of Selectmen to follow the schedule of benefits and salary increases that appears in the supervisor's union contract. So correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, but my expectation is that that increase is based on what the supervisor's contract says for next year.
That's correct. I think she'll have to move
it. If you didn't hear that, Adam, that was a yes.
Okay, thanks. I didn't, but that's good.
Anything else? All right, Lori, I think we're good. Okay. Did you have anything that you want to talk about with an add or drop package?
I do not have an add or drop package. I'm not looking for anything next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. Now we will move on to the library budget.
Hey, everybody.
Liz, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Jim. So everybody received the packet for the library budget. And we have just three categories that were an increase. Payroll, and the answer to Adam's question with Lori, payroll is contractual for us as well, but our payroll line item is a combined line item for the two, for part-time employees as well as the full-time. So, you know, the amount that I put in, I don't know what the other part-time employees are getting in their contract, so I just had to sort of make the best guess I could. So that we can adjust that, Jim, if you know, you tell me otherwise. But so that's what the first increase is. And then as you go down the list, the next increase is in the library materials budget. So if you turn to that section in your add decision package, what we wanted to point out is that the amount is an increase to show the increase in downloadable materials for the patrons. And you'll see in 2018, the downloads were 2,600 for the year. Last year, the numbers were 4,570. And already this year, in 6 months, if we were to double the 6 months of this current year right now, we would be well over 5,000. We'd be up to 5,464 potential downloads. And that would be downloading audiobooks, ebooks, music, movies, you know, streaming a variety of things. So this is to represent the increase in that usage. And just wanted to point out, in case anyone had a question about whether print materials were going away and people weren't checking those out, they actually have increased over the years. So you'll see in 2018, for print alone was 10,149. And then last year, print alone was 17,010. So print is still being checked out. The download is just an added resource to the collection, not in lieu of something else. So that's what we're anticipating for the coming fiscal year, that you know, we could see possibly 6,000 items downloaded for our patrons. So with that being said, by putting in that extra, it also allows for the cost of living increase in the print material. Because right now it's all coming out of the one lump of money. So we think that that would be really cover what the needs are for our patrons in that particular line item. Anybody have any questions about that so far? And then the only other increase, the next one is basically in equipment. And again, we're just still looking for the computers that have been needing replacement. So right now we're down three computers and the laptop is still not working properly. So this would be replacing two of the computers, the laptop, and also to add shelving, wall slat shelving in the children's room. So if you also look at the pictures that I sent over, the little meeting room that we have got renovated this past year. And this is a picture of what the door and the wall looks like. And this is the wall that we would like to put the slat wall on, which would be additional shelving. And there's a picture also of what slat wall looks like. So you can kind of see that's what we have throughout the library. And this is where we would be adding it. So we actually got extra wall space by doing this renovation. Some of you may remember that this was a double door in this section right here. So we narrowed it down to one door and it just gave us more wall space. So this is to really be able to free up floor space that we're in dire need of. So take away from having to do extraneous racks and so forth. So we think this would be a real benefit to that part of the library. So the slat wall, when you come in, you can see over the years we've worked at adding to all the ends of the metal shelf, putting the slat wall on, and that has really, really been fantastic use of space. And then the other picture is basically just to show you the kiosk that we have for the computers. It used to hold 6, it now has 3, so we're missing 3. And we've been missing 3 for a number of years. We didn't really, you know, with COVID and the situation with that in the past years, we could get away with only having the 3, but now, you know, more and more people are coming in and we have people actually waiting to use computers because we're missing the ones that we used to have. And like I said before, the laptop is just not working. It's not sufficient. We're still doing programs with using the remote access. You know, for example, we have book discussion coming up and we're doing it as a hybrid. So there's some people coming in, some people doing it from home. Right now we're borrowing the town hall's laptop so we can do that Thursday night along with the OWL. I think you have a second OWL that we're borrowing. So that just kind of fills you in a little bit on what we were looking for. And I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Liz, I have a question. It's not really budget related, but in your control, do you have a breakdown of children's takeout versus adult?
Yes, absolutely. We do have a breakdown, children's, adults, young adult as well. Absolutely. And I can get that report to you.
I would love to see that.
Okay, wonderful. Absolutely. I will get that to you this week.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I have a question / comment, Liz. I thought that you had removed 3 computers as a result of COVID to keep people separated. I know that we recently purchased 3 new computers for the library. So what happened to the ones that were taken out of service temporarily?
They were not working. So they really weren't taken out because of COVID. They were taken out because they weren't working. So over the past few years, the intent was to replace them with upgraded. And that's what happened with the 3 that we got this past year. Was to replace the ones that weren't working. And so now we're still trying to replace computers.
All right, so computers, and here's going to be my comment, we need to work together on that. Computers do not get replaced with individual budgets. Computers get replaced through the administration budget, and we've created a technology plan that helps us plan for those replacements. So if you're behind the eight ball there, that's a communication that needs to happen so that we can help you get caught up and move forward and have things accurate in our technology plan.
That sounds great.
So let's talk about that. And those should actually come out of this budget.
Correct. Yes. And we are aware of that. So we just felt that, you know, at least you would know the need was there. But that's great, Jim. Let's talk about it. And that can come right out of our budget. We don't need to have that in there and work with your budget. Sounds good.
Is that under equipment?
That's under equipment. Yeah.
Okay. That's a 2000. Linda, can you, Linda, I'm sorry. Liz, can you tell us how much of it you planned on using for the computer part?
Right, well, you know, of course, this is a guesstimate. We're figuring that it would be about $1,000 a computer. I mean, we're not sure what the town pays for computers. So we figured that would be about $1,000 a computer. Not sure about how much the laptop would be. Maybe 500, we're not sure. And then the rest would be the slat wall.
So do you know how much, so is it the shelving is the in that also? So do you, I don't want to remove too much and not you not have enough for that.
Thank you.
So how much do you think, I guess the question is, how much do you think that's going to cost?
Yes, I'm thinking about 1500.
No, total.
For the slat wall and shelf.
Right, for the slat wall, right.
So if I'm understanding correctly, Liz, you would be looking to have about $2,000 in that line item.
Correct.
That's what I'm thinking too. Give her a little room there.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And Liz, do you mind if I, technically it's furniture and fixture. It's really sure. Not equipment. Do you mind if Absolutely. We put it in the proper location? Okay.
Sounds good. We just don't have that line item in ours.
And that's fine. I can make them. So that's fine.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. Yep. Perfect. Thank you.
We'll give you an adjusted budget sheet.
Okay.
We still haven't built the budget books yet. We'll give you an adjusted sheet. Anybody else have questions for the library regarding the library budget?
This is the clerk. I have one question. Can I identify the person that's sitting with Liz and the person who's on the iPhone?
Yes, this is Rebecca Holloman. She's our library board chairperson.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. And then the iPhone, we have Dot Neal. She's on the library board as well.
Okay.
Polly is also on the library board. Mm-hmm. And we have Claire.
Okay, thank you.
A few library board people.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for asking.
Oh.
And I will get those statistics to you folks this week so you can see the breakdown. But yes, we do keep those. Absolutely. Thank you for asking, Bob.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, or are we all set?
Did you have anything else, Liz, that you wanted to offer with regard to your budget?
I don't think so. It's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
All the other line items seem to be holding their own, so.
I guess I'm curious about one more thing. What kind of coordination do you have with the libraries in the high school, etc.?
Yes, so we do work with both schools very closely. We help the teachers. We participate in a lot of their programs that they have. We support them here at the library. We exchange books when we have patrons requesting or vice versa. We provide library cards for the classrooms. So we do quite a bit with the schools.
Okay, good.
Are there any other questions before we let the library folks go and start with the fire department?
Good, pretty straightforward.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm good.
Have a good night.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Cam, since you're here, you can take over the meeting.
I took the seat. I apologize.
No, that's fine. At this time, we'll move on then from the library. We've completed the tax department for the library, and we'll move on to the fire commission.
Okay, so how do I get out of this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, please come closer to the and identify yourselves for the board clerk.
No. So the closer you are to the owl, the better it is to hear for the board clerk, and we just ask that you identify yourself.
You don't have to be on top of it, but you know, it's just easier.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hi, John Moyes, Chairman of the Fire Commission.
Hi, John.
Getting the budget, as you can see, we pretty close today is what we can to a zero budget, as far as I'm concerned. We just had a hit again for $3,300 more than we had planned on originally a month ago for TN, our dispatching, which we have no control over. And then we also have a few of the other things that have gone up a little bit. We have to put tires on the trucks, which is now mandated every 7 years by OSHA. Same thing by NFPA. And then same thing with our Scott bottles. We've got a lot of those that are coming up due. You know, the price of everything going up, I would say we're actually below zero budget.
So if I might, the bottles we've talked about in the past and we broke up into a multi-year purchase, is that correct?
It's like a continual recycle as you go forward, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. Begin that this year, and then so this will be year two.
Yeah, we started back about a year ago.
Yeah.
Put a number of the bottles in. First of all, welcome to the Selectmen. Adam, Bob, Michael, good evening. Enjoy in the background there. Thank you for being here. The Scott Air bottles were a big every 15 years. And with a grant that we got back in 2013, we had them were coming up to do here. And the ladder truck in 2008. We had, I don't know how the numbers are top of my head, but it's about 13 bottles at that point.
I can't get out of this now.
At one point, Jim, are you able to?
Yep.
I'll take care. I think we can take care of that.
Commuter.
We got you muted. Thank you. Go ahead. I'm still
muted. No.
No, sir. Okay. Talk right into those two little eyes. In the
center there. All is looking at. So anyway, as far as the bottles, Jim and I had a conversation a little over a year ago. We lighted up some of the purchase to spread the bottle purchase out, sizable amount of money. Also, as John alluded to, on tires on our trucks, I can turn around doing some massaging of some monies between different budget years. We've got two trucks that are due next year. It'd be Rescue 134. And truck 134. So noted on the sheet there that I think you have. And I can do those. I'll divide those over two different budget years. I do have a list of some items I'd like to review with you quickly when I guess get a minute to talk about the different trucks.
Questions? Adam or Bob or Michael on. No, okay. Bob Moore, questions?
Mm-hmm.
Jim?
No, not at this time.
Not yet.
Okay, would you get
me? Yeah, this is, I was told before I came up here tonight, don't say much, just walk out. You know, that's hard to do.
Is there anything new that we need to know?
Yeah, I'd like to just go over a few of the statistics for the fire department. You look at dollars and cents as, John Marianis, chairman of the Fire Commission, is just alluded to. For the last couple of years, we've tried to stay really as low as possible to the zero budget. It's tough to do. First of all, the positive of it today is a volunteer organization. Small amount of payroll, but volunteer organization. We have to go over a couple of statistics in the fire department. We responded to 532 calls last year. I've got this in print for you. 355 of those were EMS calls. We had 21 different type of fires, and miscellaneous other calls. Mutual aid accounted for 23 calls from last year. Our average response to a scene was 7 minutes. Volunteer organization, as been said before, leaving your homes in the middle of the night, getting dressed, going to firehouse. We have somebody on a scene within 7 minutes. Last year we did, as I say, 300 or 532 calls. That amounted to, for Adam, numbers, 2,405 hours of emergency time the fire department was out. You figure 24 hours a day. That was 2,405 hours done last year. Go another way, it makes it more important, I guess, 144,000 minutes, but that's kind of crazy. The busiest months for the fire department was in December and then last May. To go back to the budget, and I said really it's a volunteer budget, except for a little bit of payroll. Thanks very much for working with me for the last couple of years to do a slow upgrade up to some of my officers. We have 38 members on the list at the fire department. When you start looking at the numbers of who actually responds, and I can share that with you on the side, realistically, we have 20 members. Of those 20 members, they're looking at 50 calls plus per year. Anything left less than 50, they're members, realistically, they're social members in our fire department. One member did 317 calls last year, going right down to 50 on the other side. Average age of the membership is 33.6 years of age. Our membership range spans from 17 years old up to 72. And there's one other gentleman, he's 79. He showed up to five calls last year, fire police. So
yeah, I'm not there. So that's why
I didn't include you that. Honorary member. Interesting, another number to look at, your apparatus. When we look at on the budget, you look at maintenance, of apparatus, there's a line in there, fire, security, maintenance, and supply. Not sure what y'all realize what that is. Joe could tell you. That's any service that is done by an outside vendor on our trucks. The annual inspections, the pump testing, servicing of our Scott Air packs, servicing the Scott Air masks, the fit testing we do for the firefighters, in your different apparatus. Service 34, the Suburban, ran 248 calls last year. Service 134, the vehicle that goes out for first response for our medical calls, would be 236 calls. Service 234, the other pickup, went 105. That we use for backup for traffic, for wires down, storm-related activities, Lifestar landings, etc. The engine tank, your main engine tank, went out 67 times, the rescue truck 55, and the ladder truck 27 times. It saved us an awful lot of injuries with that ladder truck getting up on these roofs of the buildings that we have to go to. In order to accomplish all these tasks, we have to train. In a training in the fire department, we had over, we had 40 training drills last year. I'm talking calendar year, not fiscal year. 40 training drills last year. That accounted to 1,470 hours that people spent, you know, in a fire department. That does not include firefighter one class, which is 160 plus hours, or EMT class, which is 200 hours plus. And I say plus, that includes not includes travel time or the people studying on a room. I'm very happy to, you know, tell you that I just got the results. We had two members that took firefighter one class test on Saturday morning, and I just got the results, and they're very well. You know, did a good job. So congratulations to Steve Clark and Joseph Griffin. So that gives you a little more about what we do other than just here's a budget of $257,981 that we're trying to run your fire department with. I think we've got to look at, and maybe we can bring this up in another time or just like go now, what we got to look at in the future for the fire department as far as needing some more people around to help us out. And realistically, to accomplish that is looking at somebody to someone realistically, one or two people to be on a full-time basis during the day. We're awful short on medical calls. When we get the fires, we get a lot of people show up. When we get the bad accidents, like the other day down on Route 384, Interstate 384. 13 car pilot? Read my notes. Yes. Yep. 13 guy. I thought it was a Los Angeles freeway when I pulled up after all the cars pulled in. So we get a lot of people out for that, you know, to help out. And they do an excellent job. Excellent job. But we need some help in between. And I think a lot of, I'm very proud of our fire department members because a lot of them have stepped up and done over and above a lot of extra things. But they're being pulled from different corners too of their lives. And it's making it tougher and tougher. One of the areas that we actually are losing people, it's a positive, negative for Bolton, but it's a positive, is we've had four, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, four, five maybe, members over the last year, year and a half that have left the department to go to paid departments. They've taken, applied for applications outside and get paid jobs. With the union contracts, they can't come back and help us out. So that's where we're losing people. So it's tough to get recruits. But anyway, I think I overtalked my boundaries.
Oh. Some of the things with the, talking about the paid jobs, is there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get done or doesn't get done on time because we just don't have the manpower. Chief, is how many meetings a week you go to? Average probably three.
I'd rather not tell my wife. She's listening.
And like everything we do, I mean, there's a lot of OSHA regulations and NFPA things that we have to do now that we didn't have to. Someone's got to keep track of the dates on all the tires, the dates on all the Scott bottles. All your gear has a life expectancy. And back when Bobby was in, I was an active member, you had gear from the 60s, you know, right. But now it's got a life expectancy. And if someone goes in a building and gets hurt with the old gear, someone's swinging, whether it's me as the chairman of the fire commission or him as the chief or in the whole town combined. So there's this stuff needs to be kept track of, needs to be followed along with all the time. And we just don't have the manpower to do it. Don't seem to be getting as many volunteers as we had before or have the time to do it. So this is something we'd like to see. We've talked about it 15 years ago. We discussed it. We were told by the town at the time, no. But if you look at the amount of regulations and stuff like that that are coming in, I think it's something we really have to think about. Mike was saying there are some FEMA grants out there to help fund this. And we'd like the selectmen to really think about trying to implement this as soon as possible.
We can certainly put that on a future agenda for a board meeting if you wanted to bring forward those types of pieces of information detailing where the needs are and where the additional funds could possibly come from. So if you would like to consider that and get back to the selectman's office, we'll find a spot on a future meeting, perhaps in March or April.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Mike Aramita has his hand up.
Yeah, Pam, before we get off that subject, I was at a couple of meetings at the firehouse where I spoke my piece about just what the chief and John have been speaking about. And if the town wants to stay a volunteer fire department, which I'm sure they do, because there's no way we could afford a full-time paid fire department, the town is going to have to step up and make some changes. And the changes are going to have to be some sort of daytime staff. And the daytime staff, if you want to maintain a volunteer fire department, you've got to take some of the hours that the volunteers put in over and above the emergency calls. A good example.
Clerical, Michael?
What?
You're talking about clerical work?
No, I'm talking about one of the examples is the trucks are checked normally on a monthly basis if the person's available. To go through the ladder truck or the rescue truck, operate all the tools, make sure everything's there, make sure everything works correctly, you're looking at 6 hours of time spent on that. That's over and above a volunteer's regular emergency duties. And each one of the trucks has somebody assigned to it to do that. And it's a burden to have somebody come up either in the evening or on a Saturday. Whenever they lay hose, the hose has got to be dried and hung and put away. And there's all kinds of things that John alluded to that aren't getting done. They're getting done, but they're not getting done in a timely fashion. And you can't ask people to give more than they're giving right now. And if we want to stay the way we are, we're going to have to step up and put somebody there during the day that can do the truck checks, that can operate the tools on a weekly basis, that can make sure the hose is dried and hung when it's wet, and so that the people don't have to hang around for 2 hours at night to do that kind of thing, because they've got to get up in the morning, go to work, And and one of the other things to look at is you're looking at the chief, myself, Pete Mora, and a couple other people. But for the most part, your daytime staff is all collecting Social Security.
I was just going to ask Mr. Mora to comment on that.
Right. And what I'm getting at is, you know, I'm banging on the door of 72. I'm not going to be there much longer. The chief is not too far behind me, but he's a youngster compared to me. and your daytime staff is going to evaporate on you. And that's going to be a serious problem if you don't make plans for it today, not next year or the year after or the year after that.
Let's have a thorough review, Michael. We'll come back to it and we'll do it if it has its own time.
But if you want to do that in April, you've already missed the boat, is what I'm getting at. There are funds out there, the SAFER grant. If you go through the SAFER grant submissions and awards for the last few years, you see volunteer fire department after volunteer fire department after volunteer fire department looking at just what the chief and John have suggested to you, and that's some sort of daytime staff to take over some of the roles that the volunteers just don't have time for anymore. And we've been very lucky with COVID because we've had a few people home so that the senior citizens haven't been the only firefighters you have in town, but that people are going back to work and those people are going away in their jobs and we're going to be going away for a different reason. And like I said, there's money out there for SAFER grants for firefighter, for volunteer departments to hire people and retention, recruitment and retention and all kinds of things. But the SAFER grants close fairly soon. So somebody will have to get on top of this if you want to look at money to fund it. And there is money to fund it through SAFER grants where you start by paying 25% of payroll this year and 50% next year, 75% the year after. I'm not exactly sure of the percentages anymore because I haven't applied for one in about 15 years now. But it's something that you can't wait till April or March, because if you wait till April or March, you're looking at the next budget season and the next year.
Michael,
and I think you're too late by then. Michael, so now I'm going to switch and put my selectman's hat back on, and I'll submit the floor to you, Pam.
Thank you, Michael. So going backwards, you certainly know how to put something on the agenda, and when you and Chief and the Fire Commission is ready to bring forward to the selectman's office, please give us ample notice, and we'll get it on. We'll certainly make that promise to you.
I reached out to Congressman Courtney's office today. For some information, so as a carbon company on that. So as soon as I get something back, I'll be in touch with you.
When you have your a presentation for us, that'd be great. Bob DiPietro?
Yes, thank you. Chief, do we have any budgetary concerns regarding mutual aid?
Budgetary concerns, reference mutual aid? No. If I understood you right, hearing aids are low today. I would say it's not a budgetary concern on a mutual aid. I think it's a manpower issue for mutual aid. In fact, I've got it's up to me to make a phone call to Manchester's chief, Chief French. And I had a face-to-face kind of conversation about 3 weeks ago. And we got to sit down and have a face-to-face meeting with some of the area chiefs just to talk about that subject, Bob. Response to mutual aid. Coming to Bolton, it's worked out very well. I've got a pretty good rapport with all the chiefs in the area. But for us to go to Manchester to help them out at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's taking a toll on some of the members as a conversation. So budgetary, to answer your question, no.
Thank you. Adam? No, Bob Moore?
Okay. So this is a topic, obviously, that's been sitting there. Yeah, you know, just I know it is an issue that has to be dealt with. I like to see it. You're talking about an immediate. I think we need immediate and out for at least come up with a plan that goes 5 years. I mean, there's enough information out there to do that, because it's like anything else. Once you put it in, you have to understand what goes beyond year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's important. I say it now so that when we talk about it, yeah, I don't want to talk about 1 year. I want to talk about a minimum 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's the only way it can really work to continue to work. That's it.
Thank you. I would like to ask one question going back to your budget sheet, and that is under medical supplies. I guess I was surprised that the increase is that low.
There's no increase from last year. I kept it up.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize. I was jumping from the 4400 for the 8100.
Yep.
Is that going to be enough? Because medical supplies, I know, are the backbone of your medical cost. So oftentimes, as well as your other rescue, is that something that you buy through a consortium? Is that something that, is there one through mutual aid that you purchase through?
I yield the floor to a gentleman who's on a Zoom meeting.
Absolutely.
Lieutenant Demoroff.
Yeah, hello.
Could you answer Lady's question on how we buy, what we do for medical supplies, combination with ASM supplies on scene, and how you do purchasing?
Yeah, so most of our medical supplies are purchased through McKesson. We switched them as a vendor maybe about 2 years ago. They've been very well to us. They'll match pretty much any price you find with another vendor, if not beat it. Which has saved us a decent amount of money, especially with the increases with COVID, with glove boxes, which we use gloves on pretty much every call, have pretty much doubled in price over the last year or two with COVID. So we've able to save money, but also with other expenditures, those have increased and kind of balanced out. On scene with ASM, we try to do a one-for-one exchange with the ambulance service. Obviously, they are billing for their services. We are not. So if we can get back some items from them, we try to do that on scenes, which helps us to some extent.
Yes. And what items would those be, Lieutenant?
Those would be like cervical collars if someone has a neck injury, oxygen delivery devices, such as masks or cannulas for respiratory problems. BVMs to help people breathe if they can't breathe. More of those more pricey items, and not necessarily the gauzes and the bandages.
Could you also expound on the task that you took on with the epinephrine and the major change we made monetarily over the last year?
Yeah, so last year, working with our Medical Control Hospital, Manchester. We switched from using EpiPens, which on average about $600 for a two pack. You have to multiply that by two because you have the adult dose and the pediatric dose. So $1,200 per a complete set for our EMS vehicles, our rescue vehicle, our rescue truck. And those usually had a shelf life of about a year. So that was a reoccurring expense of $2,400 plus per year. We switched to check and inject, which is essentially the medication comes in a vial. And since it's not brand name or manufactured proprietary device for the auto injector, we're just paying for the vial of epinephrine, the syringes and the needles, which per incidence, which would have to reuse it, the recost stock price would now be about $30, $40 compared to $600.
And is that something that our respondees are all trained on injectables?
We have gotten all EMTs in the department who trained up to that level and certified to give epinephrine via that route. So anyone whose certification level allows them to give it is trained to give it.
We have about 19 EMTs in the department.
Thank you, James. That was very thorough, and I appreciate that. Just Jason doesn't have his hand up. That's the cursor.
That's the cursor.
Thank you. Bob Moore?
What about the anti-fentanyl?
Narcan.
Lieutenant?
Narcan is currently going for about $90 for a two-pack. We've seen a two-pack. We've seen a pretty steady decline in overdoses over the last few years. So we haven't been using as much as we were, say, 3-4 years ago when we were using it quite regularly. But it's not something we're really going through as often. And we haven't had any trouble obtaining it or restocking it when we do use it.
State of Connecticut doesn't contribute towards this in any form or fashion, correct?
No, they do not.
The state of Connecticut hasn't contributed anything to the budget right here. The two folks are, you know, I'm looking to have you approved for the fire department. Mm-hmm. We did one of your line items on there, Ms. Sawyer, on equipment. It includes the Scott bottles. It also, now I want to go back to uniform supplies. Uniform supplies, we did just get a grant for the greater Hartford Bolton grant. We put in for a roof prop through the fire department incorporated, not through the fire department. $6,670. Materials to build a roof prop, training on site down at the firehouse, but also a safety item for the firefighters, 15 ladder belts that actually adhere or snapped into their turnout gear. So when you're climbing ground ladders or on our aerial, you can lock in and make our folks safer. I think Lieutenant Brian Galay, are you on there? Or is that Laura?
It is, Brian. Hold on one moment. He's going to talk about ladder belts. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. This is Lieutenant Galay, Brian Galay, Star 534. He's in charge of the equipment on the ladder truck. I just did that recently. And Brian, can you talk a little bit about the ladder belts that we're going to be procuring through that grant?
Happy to, Chief, and hello to everybody out there. So the ladder belts that we're anticipating purchasing, they're called Jemter harnesses. And what they are ultimately is a class two harness. So with these here, what we'll be able to do is a handful of different things. We'll be safer when we operate on top of peaked roofs. So you think of the traditional rooftop that you see in anybody's residential structure, provides us an opportunity to secure ourselves to the aerial ladder or to a ground ladder with a lanyard. So there's a level of fall protection in the event that we suffer a fall while we're operating 20, 30, 40 feet up off the ground. And an additional level of protection will be afforded to all the interior firefighters as they operate inside a structure and they run into an issue where they need to be rescued by a rapid intervention team. The class two harness provides a lot of attachment points on it so that the rescue team, the rapid intervention team will be able to attach to that to remove, drag, and extricate the firefighter from the structure. So there's a lot of benefits for having that, and it's it'll make the firefighter that's wearing it in a put them in a safer position to be for the hazards and dangers that we encounter.
So is this, if I might ask, is this a brand new piece of equipment for the department?
Yes.
And one that you've witnessed through other departments have?
We have some ladder belts now.
Yeah.
I think Bob Mora bought them back in the 60s.
Yeah.
They're not about six inches wide, and they emulate the belts that the linemen
performed. Yeah, that's what they originally were.
If I may, the Jemters that we're looking to purchase right now will allow for an allocation and distribution to all firefighters that are currently credentialed as what Bolton Volunteer Fire Department calls interior firefighter. And an interior firefighter is anybody certified at a minimum of the Firefighter 1 certification level. So the Jemters that we're looking to purchase right now would allow for all members to have those affixed to their gear at all times. Currently, the department has in its possession 4 Jemter harnesses, which are, there's 3 currently stored on the ladder truck, and there's 1 currently stored on the rescue truck. The issue we run into with that is obviously given the, especially given the recent graduates from fire school, we have far more than 4 interior credentialed firefighters. And also it's a time consuming process to put one of these on. It takes generally about 2 to 3 minutes, even for an experienced firefighter, to get this thing affixed to themselves correctly improperly, which our minutes, we don't want to waste on a fire scene. So having this now, the what we've been awarded would allow for them to be affixed to our gear permanently, so that when we turn out, there it's already on us. It saves that much more time for us.
And it's below the air pack?
Yes, it does.
I was wondering how that.
Yeah, okay, on right. Your waist.
It's pure, just a waist.
Your legs are on the waist.
Clip. Yeah, and clips onto the. Well, that's sure better than hooking your foot.
I hope to have one for the presentation that's going to be done at the library on February
6th. Okay.
Off at that point. And that, again, we're expounding on that. That's money that's not going to come out of our budget. It's some extra dollars in our budget there, doing the outside. I'd like to talk about, or like a lady to speak a little bit about our training. You talk about, Pam, you talk about our medical supplies. And I mentioned training, and you'll notice on the line item professional educational services, I haven't changed that. I left that the same. And that's due to the fact that our volunteers have taken extra training and gone above. You heard from Lieutenant DeMauro earlier. Lieutenant DeMauro just finished his fire instructor one class and his fire officer one class. There's a lady on here, Lieutenant Laura Goulet. She's a EMSI. Not only a teacher at the high school teaching her children, but coming down the firehouse. Laura, could you explain a little bit about the EMSI, what we're looking to train our people on this year, and the research classes, and how that's going to save us a lot of money out of town?
We can go back to it.
Maybe not. Could be putting Lily to bed.
That time of night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Hello. Hi, Laura. Chief, would you rephrase the question again for her?
Yeah, Laura, looking to see if you can help the Board of Selectmen here understand our training program on the medical side, and being an EMSI, and we've got four EMSIs in the department, how that's going to save us an awful lot of money in our recertification for EMT, EMRs going forward this year, and what's planned.
Yeah, sir, absolutely. So every emergency medical technician and emergency medical responder needs to recertify every 2 years. And for an emergency medical technician, that's a 40-hour refresher. A lot of EMTs across the state. They have to outsource. So they have to go to a training program to get all their CEUs, 40 hours in total, to recertify. What we offer at Bolton Fire Department, because we do have the four EMSIs, is we offer a continuing education program where throughout the year, we can guarantee that every member who attends our drills will get at least 20 hours at the Connecticut level of what they need to recertify. And then we also offer our 20-hour refresher, which is typically one weekend. So that way, every EMT who needs to certify will get their 40 hours within that two-year program. So that saves the department several hundred dollars per every EMT and EMR just by offering that in-house training.
It makes the life of these volunteers so much easier. I mean, that's huge.
They have in-house training.
It's called dedication. And it's not only, you know, speak of the EMSIs, emergency medical service instructors. They can put on these classes, you know, to help our members, but it's preparation time for these folks too.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like double the amount of time, plus what they know. The other side, there's another line here, other professional services, $7,200. Deputy Chief Aramita gets involved with this, at least on a monthly basis, sometimes more than that. Mike, could you explain what that is for physicals and OSHA certifications?
Yeah, yes, I can. One of the things that OSHA requires is the annual medical certification for all firefighters, not just the interior structural firefighters, but anybody that comes on a scene with us has to have a minimum of a support level physical. The active firefighter physical entails respiratory evaluation and things like that, cardiac evaluation, to make sure you're healthy enough to do the job that you're doing. These physicals, it's not easy to get people to do them. I start in January sending out the letters, and usually it's the December of the following year when people have finally complied with getting their physicals. It's just by the time you schedule it and you go do a, you know, a couple hours for your physical, it's difficult. Some of the other things are OSHA regulations that we have to stay on top of. Right now, there's a committee working in the fire department. It's been working for about a year now, and we've probably got another 6 months of time yet to put it in. And we're trying to meet at least once a week to rewrite all our standard operating procedures or standard operating guidelines, which is a little looser term, because of OSHA and federal regulations. And whether they were federal regulations or OSHA was on us or not, it's good practice to make sure you maintain up-to-date standard guidelines. We've gotten copies from other departments and we're doing research. And, you know, I used to refer to, you know, a plagiarism was when you steal from one, research is when you steal from many. So we're doing research. And it's a lengthy process. It's going to be a 200-page document probably by the time we're done. Every day something new shows up that needs to be accounted for in our guidelines. So just those kinds of things are taking a tremendous amount of time. And, you know, you look at the physicals, a tremendous amount of money. And OSHA says if you've had your physical for the last 10 years and you've been healthy and great and no signs of any problem, if you're one day overdue, you're going to get fined. They're really helpful to us. You know, they give you absolutely zero leeway in any of these things. And, you know, I won't get into my feelings on OSHA. I used to be a big proponent of OSHA, but lately not so much. We
know that. Thank you very much, Chief.
Bob Mora, Bob DiPietro or Adam Teller, do you have questions on any of these issues? All right, Chief.
Last thing is John spoke of first. There was an update on your packet that came today. It was under line of communications, $3,333. Talon County Dispatch Mutual Aid, Talon County Mutual Aid Fire Service, 911 Dispatch Center up in Talon, is the 911 answering point for Bolton. It also answers 16 other towns from East Windsor all the way down to Lebanon. And because of the number of calls, especially medical calls, et cetera, infrastructure, the hardware going in the on the towers so we can communicate properly, and definitely on the dispatchers where benefits and everything is going up. That was the increase. Normally we get a sheet November, December to give us an idea so I can put it into budgets. Well, because of some of the fine tuning, and June just got a letter about this from the executive director up there. It just came out last week, so I had to put it in. It's not fluff. It's a fact. The folks that answer your phone and say, what's your emergency? Those are the folks that are putting the money. I'm doing a heck of a job for you.
Chief?
Anybody approached our legislative delegation to ask them to put in a piece for us this year in the state budget to get some payback for that increase?
We just got a grant up there, a $3 million grant. Actually, it was a total of $5 million grant.
From the state
of Connecticut. $3 million for infrastructure, for new, and Doug Raisco, the expert on that, the operation director of TN can tell you more, but through a voting system on radio antennas and a new alpha paging system. I carry an alpha pager on my belt. Okay, this tells me when calls come in. Most of our people, have on their phones an alpha pager also. I carry two different ways to make sure I get this. That's a $500,000 program that we're putting a brand new one on up at QV to operate with TN.
So the $5 million is shared across the state, or is that just going to?
Just for Talon County. Just for Talon County.
And we still have that increase that we just talked about.
Yes, we do. Okay. Yes.
So that was only radios and stuff.
So my comment to you guys is that was last year's money. I think you should keep looking
for next year.
Oh, exactly.
Because I do feel that it is usually very well received at the General Assembly when you go forward with specific asks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also back of the budget money. Michael?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to what the chief had talked about with TN. You know, it sounds it sounds like it might be a cluttered place with 16 towns, and probably out of the 16 towns, 30 agencies and different departments in those towns. But there's quite a bit that goes into it. You know, the chief has to spend at least one evening a month being part of that organization, and more hours than that here in town. Any time that a new piece of equipment comes in, comes online or comes offline, all of the run cards have to be changed to accommodate the new pieces of equipment. There's quite a bit that goes into it. And the fact that we have one central answering point makes it much better for mutual aid. I mean, the run cards are all laid out there. If we get a working fire and I pick up the radio and I tell them I want tankers, they already have a card system that's in the CADS, the computer system, that just brings up the ones to send out. They know if one is out of service, they send the next backup. It's a fine-tuned machine. I've been involved with TN since I was a member of Mansfield back in the 70s and 60s, and it's come a long, long way. This is a quality system they run there. And all I have to do is pick up the radio and say what I want or what I have, and they make it happen.
I would say to the Board of Selectmen, the other board members, I have toured it. It is quite a very impressive facility, and it's moving, and its efforts to move forward every year to be state of the art. So I would suggest that if you contact the chief, you could probably get yourself a very fun tour.
It would be worth it to you.
Buy you lunch.
When ET-134 went down last year, they automatically knew it. They knew it.
It's going to be a list.
Well, they're going to send another truck from Andover or Hebron, wherever's the closest to that, to us, because they knew we were down a truck. I mean, they are fantastic.
Just got put on a task force. We've had in the past, if you have a dive call in Summers, they'd send out to the whole county, send your boats. So Mansfield, Coventry, et cetera, would go cross country to get there. That's not smart, public safety wise. So we've turned around, just did a task force. There's an East, West, and North task force now. And we're in the North task force, where we'll be combined with like Mansfield, Coventry, and our boat will head to a particular scene to handle the situation.
This has been one of the earlier examples of shared services that has just expanded and has improved. It's improved over the years as it expanded. Prior to this, every little corner seemed to have its own little dispatch and everything else.
Yep.
ETN and WW were the first two really to take, and TN was the one that took off.
It has made it. It has
also
made it.
Now at the TN computer services, as I say, 17 towns, and as Mike said, a number of different departments. We're doing animal control right now, dispatching up there. But we also handle all the computer operation for WW. And you've heard of Newtown, Sandy Hook?
Yeah.
We do that whole area now with our computer systems.
No, that's what I say. It's
not just Talon County.
Exactly.
We change the name.
And it's structured in a manner that it's very efficient and also can expand. So that's what's good.
Also just got 2 years ago, the RV is modified. It's got the computers and stuff like that. They can communicate right there. They can bring that to our scene if we have a major thing, like Sandy,
or
tornado term. Or something like that. Yeah. They can be
right now, portable unit. Lot.
Yeah. Something happens at TN. Something happens to TN where everything dies. They can go out in the truck.
Yeah.
complete computer radio back.
Yeah.
And run a whole team of dispatch in the air. Push a button. We've got, we're working with QB and UConn. We just did it with UConn for a day, almost a day, because we did some change out of equipment. Push one button, UConn's handling on everything.
So, looking at the hour, is there anything else you'd like to close with, Chief?
I thank you for considering us. It's not no fluff. We need this kind of thing. And I really would like to go forward for next meeting with some information to. You know, for additional manpower, people power going forward.
First Tuesday of
February, so we need this
next week.
First Tuesday, okay.
Agenda
and to close the office.
There are people there
that
know. Yeah, I think they're good.
And
welcome today.
Are there questions from Bob DiPietro or Adam Keller? Questions? Very good. Bob Moore?
No, I just wanted to say that. that's an initial. We're probably going to have to use a subcommittee. We're all we concentrate on is that one subject, because you trying to discuss that all thing on a regular meeting, that's the initial stage, I think.
I think the initial stage to bring it forward,
and then
the board will take action.
And then, because that takes, it's going to take a lot of conversation in just that. Mm-hmm. So we're just saying, just so you're prepared. That's why I say it.
As you can see today, you know,
not to add to your time of going to meetings.
But. No, that's an important one. That's an important one because moving forward. But as you can see, you know, from the comments made by the members and officers of the fire department, it's not just one, it's a unified voice, many voices, one unified message to you.
Absolutely.
A lot of people doing some work there.
I would like to say a special thank you on behalf of the Board of Selectmen to all that are with us tonight and those that are not with us tonight for what you do each and every day in your private lives to get yourself trained and get yourself ready to jump. For those that are in the older circuit, I'd like to thank you for your continued support and your efforts on behalf of the entire town of over 4,800 people who rely on your being there for their peace of mind so they sleep every night when you don't. So it's a very special thank you. And Jim Rupert, is there anything you'd like to close with?
Nope, we're all good.
We're all good. Very good. Hey, thank you very much. And at this point, hearing no further business, Jim, when is the next meeting?
Mike, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to not apologize, but kind of apologize for wearing two hats through part of this meeting. The subject is near and dear to my heart, and I can't help myself sometimes putting on the other hat for part of the meeting.
So glad you're there. You're technical, just what I.
And Michael, thank you for what you do wearing two hats. We're deeply appreciative of it.
Like I say,
and the next meeting, Mr. Rupert?
The next budget meeting, I believe, is next Tuesday at 7.
Yep.
Tuesday at 7.
My mind would love to be out there, but my body would.
I know. I'm beginning to know exactly how you feel.
What we have benefit from, I can tell everyone that's with us tonight on the fire department, is when we have this depth of knowledge on our Board of Selectmen, it has been invaluable over many, many issues, and fire department is one of them. Thank you, Michael and Bob. Very good. And saying that, good night, all.
Good night.
And the meeting.
Night, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.